Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. We have finished the main body of the third epistle of John, and yesterday started looking at the final two verses, which are the conclusion to this epistle. And though they are rather ordinary in many ways, they actually teach us quite a bit if we look at it carefully. John says in verse 13, "I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name." Well, there it is. In many ways, it sounds like the conclusion to a number of the epistles in the New Testament. Paul wrote similar words, not identical, of course, but similar words, rather personal comments and greetings and passing back and forth remembrances from one to another. And so this is not at all uncommon in the epistles of the New Testament. But they are part of the inspired Word of God, all of which is given for our profit, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All of it is profitable according to what the Word itself claims, what the Word of itself declares, and therefore, if it is all profitable, it is all preserved for our study and for our edification, then of course we ought to take the time to look at it and treat it as it is the Word of the living God. It is of inestimable value. And so that is exactly what we are endeavoring to do, and we thank you for joining us in doing this on this Thursday, August 15, and thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Well, what I have seen in these two verses is, number one, the value of the written word, number two, the value of the spoken word, and number three, the value of the social word. And we started into the first one on the broadcast yesterday, the value of the written word, where John says, "I had many things to write to you." I had many things to write. John is revealing what his mindset was, what his intentions were when he started to write. "I had many things to communicate to Gaius." He intended a more lengthy letter than the one that he actually ended up writing, but his original intention was altered upon further reflection. "I had many things to write to you, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. I have changed my mind." And so we have John's original intention revealed, and then we have John's altered plan revealed. "I do not wish to write." And this tells us something about the limitation of written words. Some things are best communicated in person. In some ways, in some situations, for some purposes, the spoken word is superior to the written word. Some things need to be addressed in personal conversation. Notice a contrast between this and, or comparison, I guess I should say, between this and the words of John in the second epistle, verse 12. "Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full." Very similar, right? John seems to have a similar line of thinking, line of reasoning in both of these epistles as he comes to the conclusion and decides to cut them short from what he had originally intended because he has a visit planned and he would rather cover these things with them personally. Now, the Apostle Paul did exactly the same thing. The one that comes most readily to my mind is the one in 1 Corinthians where Paul said, "The rest I will set in order when I come. I've written these things to you now. You needed them now. I needed to get these things down on paper and send them to you prior to my coming, because my coming is still a few months away. But there are a lot of other things that need to be communicated. I'm not going to communicate them all in this epistle, but I will set those things in proper order when I come. I will correct other abuses besides the ones that I'm writing about in the 1 Corinthian epistle." So this is rather common sentiment to be found among the biblical writers, and we find the very same thing here. John originally intended to write to Gaius a longer letter, maybe more like the 5 chapters of 1 John, but he altered his plan and wrote a shorter letter. But he still, and this is a very important point, he still did not reserve everything for personal communication. He doesn't say, "Well, I was going to write to you, but then I decided, you know, I'm just coming later and I'll just cover everything face to face." So even though he changes his mind and decides that some things would best be communicated by the spoken word, by writing this short epistle and putting down the things he does put in this epistle, he tells us something about the value of written communication. And that's why I call this first emphasis the value of the written word. "I had many things to write, but I decided not to write as many as I originally thought I was going to write, but I did write this because this needed to be written." That's what he's saying. What did he write? Well, he wrote this epistle of 3 John. He wrote the commendation to Gaius, who was a faithful man, who had been serving the Lord, who had been supporting the work of the gospel, who had been encouraging and supporting gospel preachers. And John wrote to commend him. John wrote to condemn Diotrephes, a bullheaded autocrat who had made his way into the leadership of one of the local churches and was wreaking great havoc there and was opposing the work of the gospel and opposing the authority of John the Apostle himself, and was making it hard not only for traveling gospel preachers, but making it hard on the members of his church who wanted to do the right thing and help them. And John writes to oppose him and expose him. And then John wrote to commend Demetrius, a short commendation, but nevertheless a very warm one that needed to be communicated, to let everybody know that Demetrius was a good man who was commended by the Word of God. His life conformed to Scripture in a very exemplary way, and therefore he ought to be followed. He ought to be considered a good example to the believer. And furthermore, he had the commendation of the apostles and other Christian leaders. And he wanted to write these things. He commends Gaius and desires his physical blessing, this one who supports gospel workers. He wants him to continue in that. Condemns Diotrephes for rejecting missionaries and rejecting John and rejecting the truth itself. And endorses Demetrius as a good example to follow, and concludes with a promise to visit and a benediction and some greetings. Now, what do we say about this particular arrangement? From the human level, we see a lot of wisdom in what John is doing here. He writes the basics for general instruction. He reserves many of the details for private discussion. Think about that. He records the basics for general instruction. They're written down. They are sent to Gaius, and they are preserved for others and for all time. They are general instructions that are helpful to the church. So he records the basics for general instruction, but he reserves many of the details for private discussion, because the personal details, in many cases, are the sort of things that do not have general and wide application. The general statements, the general principles do, but there are many details that are going to be only applicable to this exact situation and don't need to be disseminated any further. That reveals wisdom on his part, human wisdom. But if on the human level this shows wisdom, on the divine level it shows perfection. John writes, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, to preserve truth and instruction for the church for all ages. We are still learning from what John wrote 2,000 years after he wrote it. But also to conceal some of the, what should I call it, juicier details from carnal speculations. When John comes, he says he's going to deal with Demetrius. Oh, wouldn't we like to know what he said? He said he was going to expose him before the church. Oh, wouldn't we like to know exactly how he did that? Wouldn't we like to hear the words that he used to call Demetrius, Diotrephes, on the carpet? Wouldn't we like to know what happened after that? Wouldn't we like to know how the church, of which Diotrephes was the bully boss, dealt with him and removed him from the congregation and brought him, we trust, under to humility and conviction so that he might repent of his sins and would not spend eternity separated from Christ, because it's clear that John does not consider him to be a born-again man. But wouldn't we like to know all these juicy details? But they're not profitable. All Scripture that is given by inspiration of God is profitable. And so what we have, we know is profitable, because God guarantees that it is. All Scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable. And so what is profitable, God directed John to write. What is not profitable, God directed John to communicate personally, verbally, to the one church, to the particular individuals to whom that would be helpful and valuable, and no farther. We can learn a lot in that. It takes a lot of wisdom to know how to deal with controversies, and a lot of 3 John, of course, is controversy, though not all of it. But it takes a lot of wisdom. I agonize over some of these things. I pray long and hard over some of these things, how to respond to this situation. It has to be responded to. It can't be ignored, but it's not only important that we do respond, but that we respond in a Christ-like way, and that's not always easy to figure out. Those who think that Christ was never stern, was never strong, never rebuked in strong language aren't reading the same Bible I'm reading. But it's possible to deal with sinful situations in a very high-handed and carnal manner and not show any more grace in your response than the person did in their trespass. Takes a lot of wisdom, and I think we see that exemplified here as we see the value of the written word. Well, thank you. Tomorrow we'll take it up again. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.